Have you ever been at the place where you wanted a career change, but found yourself wondering what your options were outside of clinical practice when 100% of your professional working life had been in a clinical capacity? Then you're not alone. In today's episode, I will help you to see the organic skills you may not even realize you have, or perhaps have undervalued, but which are relevant to a wide range of potential jobs outside of the clinical setting. I hope this episode gives you somewhat of a yardstick to assess your potential marketability if you are considering a career pivot. Are you a health professional facing a crossroads in your career but feeling unsure of which direction to go in or what next steps to take? Are you tired of working hard and not seeing results in terms of career growth? Do you long to build purpose into your work but feel stuck as you don't have a clear focus, are unsure how to package your value, or are uncertain what professional development opportunities you may need to carve out a new career path? Hi, I'm Dr. Diane, boy mom, immigrant, visionary, and career pivot strategist, and I'm here to help you find career clarity, identify and leverage your value, and clarify the steps you need to take so that you can confidently transition into the next phase of your career, scale your professional impact, and find greater fulfillment. If this is music to your ears, pull up a chair and let's chat. Today we're going to be talking about the topic of transferable skills and why they may be important for health professionals, especially those in clinical practice. But before we dive into today's episode, I want to give a shout out to Christina Johnson to thank her for the review she left for the show on Apple Podcasts. And Christina, your words of encouragement to me and to other listeners are really appreciated. I'm so glad you found the show to offer hope and solutions for burnout. And this is what Christina says. Dr. Diane's impactful approach shines a light on the burnout experienced by dedicated health professionals. Her message not only provides hope and support, but offers tangible solutions for preserving well-being while continuing to excel in their field. So thank you so much for that feedback, Christina, and I really do hope you're all enjoying the content and finding some value that you can apply to your professional journey and your professional growth plans. And if you want ongoing support, subscribe to the podcast and join the Facebook group Career Growth and Pivot Strategies for Health Professionals. And I promise you'll get a daily dose, a bite-sized punch of inspiration to help you on your journey. We'll journey together. So let's dive into today's episode. So when I wanted to transition out of clinical practice, I didn't know how to position myself in the job market or what skills I could present to potential employers as valuable. Since, in my mind anyway, all I had was my professional experience as a clinical optometrist, and I couldn't see how any of that could translate to other job contexts. Now, I'm not even sure I knew what transferable skills were at the time, and I guess I assumed that only what I did in my professional capacity had value or relevance to workplace skills demands. But as I grew, I realized that some of the responsibilities we hold within the course of life develop in-demand transferable skills, which can then translate to our marketability as health professionals when we want to transition out of clinical practice and into more mainstream roles, whether within or outside of healthcare. So what are transferable skills? Essentially, they are skills or abilities or talents relative to life in general that are applicable to most jobs. So they're not only what you gain in the course of your working life, as many people may think, but they are really your cumulative experience you gain throughout the course of life. And if you listen into episode 15, Janelle Taylor shares a very interesting story of where she utilized project management skills she gained while planning her wedding to secure a position that required project management as a skill set. So we need to think outside of our traditional roles when we're thinking of transferable skills. So some common examples or some examples of common transferable skills that are well known are things like communication skills, teamwork, problem solving, leadership. These are kind of skills that are core to lots of jobs and generally well known, and that many of us as clinicians and health professionals garner in the course of our work, right? We have to cultivate communication skills, whether communicating with our patients, communicating with, you know, peers, communicating with the community. There's various layers to communication, right? Written communication, verbal communication. Now it's online communication. And so when roles demand genetic skills such as communication, we can draw from our general life experience then to express what we've done, how competent we are in a particular area, and then cite examples from your experience. That becomes a transferable skill. Now, interesting, when you look up what are the skills demands in healthcare and not necessarily in clinical roles, this comes up as well. These are some of the top skills that are cited as being in demand in healthcare: teamwork, communication, problem solving, leadership. There you see the top four that I've just mentioned as genetic skills in workplaces in general: empathy, adaptability, interpersonal skills, attention to detail, ability to work in high-stress, fast-paced environments. And if you're a clinician, I'm sure you're sitting and thinking, gosh, I kind of tick almost all of those boxes, if not all of them, right? And this is what we just do. But oftentimes, when we're then looking at expanding our roles outside of direct clinical care, we take for granted these things that have been a core part of our day-to-day work, and we don't necessarily see them as valuable transferable skills. We see our clinical expertise, our training, our degrees, those sort of things we tend to place the value on, whereas employers, especially in the mainstream sectors, are looking for these kinds of skills for people in roles who can step into roles where they can be adaptable, where they can lead, where they can communicate with teams, etc. So one of the, I call it my quotable quote, that I always say to my colleagues and staff when I worked in leadership was, it's important to count what you do and make what you do count. Because when we don't stop to recognize the actual value, to put a label on what it is we are doing in the course of our work, when it comes to the time when we're preparing for an interview or preparing our resume to position ourselves for a particular role, we've forgotten a lot of the things that we've done simply in the course of life or in our work. And that could potentially be valuable. That could be high stakes skills for the roles that we are targeting. But because we haven't counted them and haven't made what we do count, we fall short of measuring up. And yet, it's not for lack of having experience in that area. So perhaps you can do a skills audit after this episode. Maybe take out your journal and a pen and just jot down some of the areas that have been a common thread in your work and then in your personal life that you feel can fall within these sort of boxes that are in demand in workplaces in general. And then start looking at how you can package your skill set for the kinds of roles you may be interested in. Now, taking it a step further, what are the future skills demands that are being projected for 2024 and beyond? Well, I looked up the World Economic Forum's Future of Jobs 2023 report, and it was very interesting. Cognitive skills topped the list of those deemed to be of greatest importance in the workplace, specifically analytical skills, analytical thinking, and creative thinking were the top two skills groups that ranked in the report. And creative thinking came in second ahead of three self-efficacy skills: resilience, flexibility, and agility, which in a post-COVID world, I don't think it's surprising, right? It's important for workers anywhere to be able to adapt to disrupted workplaces. So once again, these are non-traditional skills that we may undervalue, but which can actually present incredible value for employers looking for people who know how to adapt and be agile and think creatively and problem solve around unexpected disruptions to the routine of work or the workplace culture. So yeah, I hope this has given you some food for thought, both to be able to assess where you're at with some of the transferable skills you may have and to start jotting those down, to start identifying the value that you have in a personal capacity as well as that you've garnered through your professional roles. And then being forward-looking, how can you position yourself in terms of, you know, the analytical thinking skills that companies are now placing greater emphasis on as, you know, workplaces evolve. Creative thinking, the self-efficacy that organizations are starting to value more than some of just the more common genetic skills that we are familiar with. And so I'll close with this quote by Saadia Zahidi, who is the managing director of the WEF. And it says, "The traits that make us human make us able to relate with each other and to get innovative, creative things done in the workplace." So isn't that quite amazing? That what does it boil down to? Human relations, social influence, leadership. And of course, we can use our clinical background and couple it with some of these things to be able to present ourselves as valuable. Recognize the value that you have. And perhaps where you may fall short, start identifying opportunities to grow your skills in that area so that you can future-proof your career, especially if you're not planning to stay in clinical practice for the long term, that you are building these skills, you're layering your skill set so that you have more options available to you and you are more marketable. So healthcare professionals and clinicians in general are well placed in terms of the growing demand for these skills when I look at it. Even outside of your workplace, look at the exposures, experiences where you've had opportunity to cultivate these skills and then see how you can package and present this value to employers outside of a clinical context. And remember my quotable quote, count what you do and make what you do count. And if you want someone to walk alongside you and help you to do this work, I would love to work with you and get you prepared for the next phase of your career with one-on-one coaching. And you can book a call at calendly.com/LBCP/coaching-call. And I look forward to connecting with you. And that's a wrap for today. If you found value in today's episode, do share it with a friend who you think may need to hear this. And if this episode inspired you, would you be so kind as to head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and review for the show? I'd love to hear how our content is helping you on your professional development journey, and your review will also help others discover and benefit from this podcast. Looking forward to hearing more? Then meet me back here again next time for another episode of Life Beyond Clinical Practice. Goodbye.